Okay, so hello everyone, and welcome to the August 30th, 2023 9/11 Another Deep State Crimes teleconference. Thanks for joining us today. I think we would like to dedicate today's conference call to Greg Boyd and Alan Reese. And let's see, and Craig, could you take the roll call, please?
Yes, sure. So there's myself, Craig McKee, and Cheryl Curtis. We have Richard Gage, John O'Malley, Andy Steele, Lynn Cornelison, Barbara Honegger, and Jane Clark. And we have one more here that we haven't identified yet. He's calling from a 437 number. Could somebody tell us who that is?
This is Gail Gage. I did not hear my name, but I am on the call. But 437 is not my number.
Right, we
okay,
see
Gail. I saw Richard on here twice, and I didn't know that was because you were both calling from different phones. Okay, so Gail,
okay.
I've got you
okay.
Separately. Okay, good. Awesome. So if we don't, Cheryl, I don't want to steal your thunder here, but I mean, I'm assuming if we don't hear from the 437 person, that we're not going to keep them on the call. They have to identify themselves.
Should we give a few more numbers to see if that does anything?
Well, 912. Yeah.
So 437912. Anybody want to own that? No, I guess not. So okay. I can remove it. Should I remove it?
Well, I think we have to. I mean, if we're in error, then the person can call back. But if they do have to kind of respond, I mean, we don't allow people not to.
Okay. I think this is going to remove it. Let me see if it does.
If you click the X, it should do it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it removed it. Okay.
Okay. So I hope that person, just was away from their phone or something. I hope they'll call back, but yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. So we're all set with that then. Do want to let people know that we do have a speaker for September 27th. It's Dr. William Mackies, and he's Canadian, I believe. And he's going to be talking about vaccine injury and death. So he will be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He writes. And, he covers a lot of aspects of COVID. So I don't, by next month he may have other things he also wants to include. And I don't. You know, it's not too narrowed down at this point, but
So all things for COVID,
We got confirmation from him sort of very last minute, and so we decided to schedule him for September, and it's just as well that we didn't have him on tonight because of all these technical problems. It's just
Barry's Ricker coming back on again.
Oh, Barry, that was you. Okay.
because we asked if anybody belonged to that number, and we didn't hear anything, so we thought it was. Okay. Good.
Sorry,
okay,
sorry
so
Barry.
You.
Okay.
No, that's mystery assault. So we've got all the role is done. Barry Zwicker, if I didn't mention him the first time around, he's on here. So we should be good for that.
Okay. So we actually have an addition to the agenda. We'd like to add Barbara Honegger as our third speaker. Are there any objections to this proposed addition? Okay.
Can I just add, Cheryl, that I did email both Barbara and Richard earlier. So we've kind of agreed that everybody's good with 15 minutes as a max, they'll just deal with the events that they're involved in, and then when we go to sort of open discussion, if anybody, if even any of the speakers have other 9/11 news or events that they want to mention, that there's an opportunity then, so we can kind of do it that way. So we're all set for that. So.
Okay. All right. Great. So any objections to adding Barbara Honegger to the agenda?
Well, I think people should know that the reason to add me to the agenda, if people want, is to talk about our lawyers committee event.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Well, yep. We figured you would explain that, but you're right. You're
okay.
Right. I guess we should.
Right. So hearing no objections, then that's approved, and then we need to get our agenda approved. So does everyone approve of the agenda with the addition and as written and sent out to you? Okay. Hearing no objections, then it's approved. Great. So now we'll get started with our first speaker, who is Andy Steele of AE 911 Truth. And Greg, did you want to do a brief intro of Andy?
Yeah, I'll do a quick one. Let's put ourselves into speaker mode here while we're just so we can get rid of that background noise for people. Are you going to do that?
So on mine, I think I can only mute myself. So could everyone let's see.
But if we go into speaker mode, then it'll do it automatically, right?
Right, but I'm into it. They've changed this, and let me see if I can do it here. Let's see.
Because I could probably I could probably.
All right.
Do
no,
it.
I, okay. I switched yeah. it back. I can do that now. Just hang on a second.
It's the top left.
All right, so I'm going to mute everybody, and then I'll go back and unmute you and Andy. So just hang on a moment. I'll just put it in. And then I'm going to unmute myself, I guess. Mm-hmm. Craig, are you there or are you muted?
I'm here. I'm not muted.
Okay, so you don't go right. Okay, so I just unmuted Andy. Okay, and you're unmuted, so go ahead.
All right, can everybody hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Craig.
I'll just tell them who you are. Not that most people need to be told, but, you know, this is Andy Steele from Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. He's been with us many times before and told us about stuff going on with the organization. And so, the three people that we're going to hear from tonight are all going to be talking about things related to the 9/11 anniversary. So we'll start with Andy, and I'll turn it over to you, Andy.
All right. Thank you so much, Craig. And I also want to thank Barbara for informing all of us, and me in particular, because about Alan Reese, because Alan Reese was the person who gave my show a home. Originally, we were on Worldwide Christian Radio. They kicked us off suspiciously after I had made a comment about the Catholic Church and science. And Alan Reese brought us onto No Lies Radio, and we had a home there pretty much the whole time. And anytime we had technical issues, no matter how complicated, Alan was always there. He helped us out with our event with Dylan Avery not too long ago, and he did it sort of at the last minute and just kind of sat there and babysat the whole thing with us, and it was very appreciated. So it's sad to hear about that, and we'll definitely be doing something to remember him in the next coming days. Our whole staff is shocked. I just texted him. All right, yeah. So we have another 9/11 anniversary coming, and it's like something that's like a I don't want to say holiday, but like a grim day of remembrance for this entire country. As we get further and further away from the event, you see them putting the focus on more and more things, but there's always going to be hit pieces coming out, this kind of stuff. We've existed for a movement for so many years. I can remember back in 2008, 2013, all these articles saying the 9/11 truth movement is dead, it's gone, over, but yet here we still are, we still exist, and we keep on doing what we are doing. But it is a much different world now. with us trying to do our work, trying to get the scientific evidence out, various people going about it their own ways, and we face many new challenges. And I am shocked. I can remember commentators talking years ago about how in the future Google, the internet, is going to be like a glorified cable box that you're just going to have a certain choices given to you, and all the other information is going to be filtered out. And I was not arrogant about it, but I said, I don't know how they're going to put the genie back in the bottle. You know, I Google 9/11 truth, there's Niels Harrit, there's Building 7, there it all is, it's not going anywhere. I don't know how they're going to make this all disappear. But now here we are, 2023. A lot more difficult to get that information, and there's certain observations that people have made. Now, why am I talking about all of this when we're going into an anniversary? That's because this is going to be a big focus of what we're going to be talking about, AE 9/11 Truth, along with other challenges that the movement is facing. So this year's event is going to be titled Truth Defiant, Standing Up to the Forces of Silence and Deception. It's going to be taking place on Friday, September the 8th. We're going to be beginning it at 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm going to be emceeing it, and what we're going to have is two 90-minute panel discussions, and obviously it's all for the same subject, and it's all for the betterment of our shared cause, but we're going to have two very different groups of people talking about two very different things. And the first one, we're going to be it's going to be titled 9/11 Truth Under Attack, Remaining Strong as the Empire Strikes Back, right? And we're going to be joined by somebody named Craig McKee, and author and media critic Barry Zwicker, and longtime activist Adam Syed and Jeff Long. And what this is going to be is this is going to be an unprecedented and frank discussion about the obstacles that the 9/11 movement has faced over the years, but not just the stuff that has happened on the surface, but things that have happened underneath the surface, things people may not know about, and some of the issues that have held the 9/11 truth movement back, and the increasing attacks on our cause that real activists are going to need to overcome. And when I say activists, I'm not just talking about 9/11 truth activists. I think these are pitfalls that all movements fall into as you know, as they try to do their thing and get their messages out. So this will be sort of a seminar for any future people that come across it to listen to our experience in this movement, because there could be another 9/11 5 years from now, and somebody who's in diapers at this moment could be part of the next big truth movement that comes up. So they should learn from our own experiences. So the topics that we're going to be covering in this discussion is going to be internet censorship. You may not even notice it, but we're going to be talking about how you can actually prove the censorship yourself with just doing a few clicks on Google, seeing how the search results shrink as you go through each tab. It's a kind of a complicated thing, but we'll be discussing that in great detail during that, so if you want to learn about that, tune in. We're going to be talking about COINTELPRO, how it works to divide movements and target genuine activists. You know, when you talk about COINTELPRO, it's sort of this, you know, vague thing that people think they know about, but there's a whole history here, beginning with the civil rights movement, things that they did to specific people, even getting them killed, and it continues on, not just with the civil rights people, but it happened with the Puerto Rican rights people, it happened with the Occupy Wall Street people, and we'll be talking about that and some of the tactics and the history of it as well. I've actually done a lot of research on that in the last couple of years in the face of certain situations that we have found ourselves in and dealing with. We're going to be talking about the spreading of misinformation to muddy the perceptions of our cause, you know, the crazy stuff such as flat earth, you know, how that gets introduced to try to, associate us with those things. A couple of years ago, some group hijacked our logo and put it on to something about Titanic truth. I think it was like the Titanic didn't actually sink or whatever, but trying to associate us with that stuff that is out of this world, quite literally, sometimes, so that nobody takes us seriously. We're going to be talking about the spreading. We're going to be talking also about Cass Sunstein method of infiltrating conspiracy groups to slowly coerce them into accepting more and more of the official stories that they themselves challenge. This is not a theory. This is something that 30 pages, this entire document, where he said that this is what we should be doing, and you can actually see this in practice going on out in the movement as well. So this is going to be a very frank discussion, probably more frank than we have ever been about these issues before, trying to cover some areas of misinformation that have been put out there quite deliberately by some very bad characters who are not doing this cause and not part of this cause for the right reasons. So you're going to definitely want to tune in, and we're saying this right in the bulletin. This is the discussion that the opposition does not want you to hear. So if you have people saying, don't listen to that, don't tune into that, these are terrible people for bringing this up, then that is all the more reason you need to tune in. Trust your own discernment, not what some other guy tells you. So that is going to be the first discussion. The second one is going to be called In the Service of Duty, Engineers on the Front Lines of the Resistance, because we are architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, and we have project due diligence that is going on. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. We have engineers going all over the country giving presentations at local professional chapters of the ASCE and other organizations. We just had a great one by Jeff Bishop out there. I think it was in Florida. We have a video currently on our YouTube channel that you can watch his presentation. So we always bring it back to this because they are doing the work, the hard, unglamorous work of basically going around the country and doing this. We have engineers that are driving, in some cases, 200 miles on their own dime. We try to reimburse them. Sometimes they will accept it, but other times they'll say, no, keep it. But they're doing this on their own dime to go out and deliver this evidence. So it's a real grassroots effort. And, you know, if you work at the professional organizations, they're the only things that are keeping the NIST reports alive. Without the ASCE and these other groups to back them up, NIST really has nothing left to stand on. So that's why this is so important. So the debate surrounding what happened at the World Trade Center, this is not just a debate about what happened to those towers on that day, but Roland takes this very seriously because he cares about his profession. He was really into being an engineer. And so this is about professional integrity and how that takes a backseat to political agendas here in the post-9/11 world, which none of our volunteers with Project Due Diligence are cool with. So we're going to have a panel discussion. It's going to include Roland, who, by the way, is currently working on a book where he's going to be going after people in these professional organizations and laying out how they, them personally, how they participated in covering up this issue and denying justice to those nearly 3,000 people who died, of course, going after the government as well. And we're going to have other board members, and we're still rounding out the panel here. It's liable to include a lot of people. So a very interesting discussion. And we're not just going to be talking about engineering and going rehashing the 9/11 evidence, because frankly, we do that all year around anyway. But they're going to be getting more personal with this and talking about why 9/11 is important to them and why they need to keep on hammering this. So these are going to be two interesting panel discussions. We're estimating, you know, don't hold me to an exact number here, but we're estimating to about like 90 minutes for each of them. So definitely a lot to take in, especially the first one. There may be some presentational stuff included in it as well. But that is going to be on Friday, September 8th, beginning at 5 p.m. Pacific. Of course, it's free, and we'll be sending out more information in our emails about it in the coming weeks, so just keep an eye out for those. So with all of that said, I am done. I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
All right. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate all that information. Let me move us into Q&A. Okay. So if anyone would like to do something, star six. Oh, wait, I think they have to be. All right. So
is everybody?
Craig, they've changed this, and I don't know how to – it's not star six anymore, so I'm not sure how to use it. So we're just in open mode. So we have to do it that way. So does anybody have
Barbara,
a question?
Barbara was already in the queue, so we might as well give her the first,
okay.
first question.
Yep, go ahead, Barbara. Oh, is she on? Barbara? Let me see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I had to unmute myself for some reason. Okay, simple question. Andy, sounds great. I could be wrong about the date, but I believe September 8th is the date that Mick Harrison is doing oral arguments on the NIST case in D.C. federal court. Is that correct?
I believe that is, yes. Yeah.
Okay, and I don't know what time. That's usually in the morning, so that wouldn't conflict with your event. But I would hope that there would be some kind of report on that, because it would have happened that morning, and it's so important. That's it. That's my question.
Okay. Well, if there's anything significant that comes from that in the next few days, there's plenty of time to report that, but there's no initial plans for that right now during the event.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant we won't know how it went until that morning, if I'm correct about the date. So, you know, as soon as I learn from Mick Harrison how it went, I can email you.
Yeah, you can email me anything that you want. I can't guarantee what's going to go out on that specific date, though, so I'll have to see what's in the email.
No, I understand. It just seems incredibly relevant to your event. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to hear about it too, Barbara. So feel free to include me in the email if you wish.
Okay. Any other questions for Andy? Okay. Thank you, Andy, for sharing that with us. We'll definitely be tuning in. Okay. Before we move to our next speaker, we have someone on the call who's from Shavertown, Pennsylvania, but they don't give your name. Could you identify yourself? It's you're still there.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is Robert Griffin. I'm not actually in Shavertown, but it's close enough.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Welcome, Robert.
Thank you, guys. Good to be here.
Okay, great. So then we'll move on to our second speaker, and that's Richard Gage. And Craig, did you want to say a few words about Richard?
Well, I don't think that I need to say much. I think Richard's background in the movement is pretty well known to everybody. So all I can say is we're glad to have him here tonight. Tell us what he's going to be involved in for the anniversary. So take it away, Richard.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it. Hi, everybody. On September 5th, the Truth Action Project, which has a new website, which is actually quite impressive, at truthaction.org, or is it truthactionproject.org? They're having a forum, which is including myself and Mick Harrison. Mick will be giving an update as the litigation director of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. I'll be talking about the parallels of 9/11 and COVID as developed originally 2 years ago by Kevin Ryan, an extraordinary set of 13 parallels between these two major false flag events. So we're going to go through all the details, abuse of science, creating a climate of fear, and creating a solution that's far worse than the original problem, foreknowledge, and predictive programming in each case. So all of these kinds of parallels. So that's September 5 at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then there's on September 8th is Barbara mentioned Mick's oral arguments. That's an AE 9/11 truth deal. But what was not clarified regarding that, we can talk about that in the open section, is whether people are encouraged or not encouraged to attend that. So maybe somebody could address that in the open section. Then there's a conference in New York on September 9th, sponsored by Billy Ray Valentine and Tony Arterburn. The speakers will include myself, Don Jeffries, John Brisson, Wayne McRoy, Billy Ray Valentine, Charlie Robinson, and Tony Arterburn. So that's from 11:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern in New York, called Free World New York City. So tickets are available right now. All of these events I'm mentioning are on the website richardgage911.org. The next one is the Lawyers Committee.
We've got a little background noise there. I'm just wondering, Cheryl, sorry to interrupt you, Richard, but I'm just wondering if we should mute everybody other than our speaker for the moment.
Okay, yeah, let me mute and then I'll unmute him. Okay, Richard, you're good to go.
The Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry is hosting a very important event that Barbara will talk about. That is on September 10th. I'll be speaking there as well as showing the part of the first episode of our new film series, 9/11, Crime Scene to Courtroom. So that'll be a bit of a premiere, though a short one because there's so many speakers. And then we have the event also in New York physically. The Lawyers Committee event is online, as Barbara will explain. But physically in New York is the premiere, well, the New York premiere of the film about Graham McQueen, Peace, War, and 9/11. I'll be speaking at that event as well before the film, honoring the late, great Graham McQueen, September 10th, 6 p.m. Eastern. Then we have our Boots on the Ground action with activists. Myself and Gail will be at Building 7. We're asking everybody to join us downtown New York for some real 9/11 truth on the ground. September 11th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern at Building 7. There's more details for all of this, by the way, on the website, right up front on the front page, richardgage911.org. The next event is that evening, September 11th, 4 p.m. Eastern, at the New York Jets' first game of the season, and the quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, who has made motions toward 9/11 truth. So,
what is that back? Does anyone? Sorry, Richard. Does anybody know what that background noise still is? It's not in your end, Richard.
No, if everybody's muted, it must be on the
conference
line.
Everybody's muted, so it's just it's just some kind of a technical issue. Sorry.
Yeah,
please continue. Sorry.
Okay. So a plane will fly a banner. We raised $2,200 for this event, for this banner. It says 9/11 Truth. Aaron knows. Do you? It'll fly right over the stadium. And we'll be there with our Jets Fuel Can't Melt Steel Beams green T-shirts. So join us. There'll be a whole bunch of us there in the parking lot prior to the game. We're not going to the game itself, but we'll be out in the parking lot red-pilling the Jets fans. And so that fundraising campaign was successful, and that's underway. Next, we have on September 11th, in Oakland, California, at the Grand Lake Theater, at 3 p.m., the 19th Annual 9/11 Truth Film Festival. And I'll be showing a more significant chunk of 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom, Episode 1, in this two-dozen-episode series, which we're working madly to complete. Graham McQueen's will be featured there along with David Ray Griffin, a brand new film by Ken Jenkins, which is on the mysterious collapse of Building 7, a book and series of lectures by David Ray Griffin that Ken has made into a film. All of that's in Oakland on September 11th. Then, starting on or about September 20th, there is a series of nine stops on the Richard Gage 9/11 West Coast RV speaking tour. We're going from the Northern California East Bay all the way up to Seattle in nine stops. We'll be in Marin County, we'll be in the South Bay, we'll be in Oakland, we'll be in Sacramento, Redding, Eureka, Eugene, Portland, and Seattle, ending on October 1st. The schedule is listed and given on the website. So that's it. Any questions?
I guess we have to unmute.
Okay, so does anyone have any questions for Richard?
I have one I can start with, Cheryl, while other people are
okay. Yep.
Go ahead. I don't have the nerve to ask. I just wanted to, Richard, for those of us who may, in just in general, want to see either the Graham McQueen film or whatever is going to be available of this, of the one that you're talking about, the series, if aside from the anniversary, is there going to be a way to see those films, and if so, when and how?
Yeah, our film series will be put on YouTube for free, and I'll announce that big and wide, and that'll probably happen shortly on or after September 11th. I don't know about the Graham McQueen film.
Okay, so that's just, but it's not. Is it being shown in its entirety at the in one of the events you're talking about, like, or is it just being talked about?
Well, the Graham McQueen film is shown in its entirety at the New York premiere, which is September.
But that's not online. That's not being shown online. That's just being shown at the theater that you're.
Yeah, I'm guessing there'll be some attempts to recoup costs on that one.
Right.
Ours is paid for by all of our supporters, so we're putting it for free on YouTube. The 9/11 crime scene to courtroom.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, any other questions for Richard?
Hey, Richard.
Barb, I've got a question.
Okay, I heard Barb and one other person. Who was the other person?
Xander. Barb, go ahead.
Okay, Barb and then Xander.
Yeah, my question for Richard is that all you're doing?
we got a little excited this year.
Okay. And then Xander?
Richard, could you elaborate a little bit on what it was you were going to be doing in the Northern California area? What is Ken Jenkins' role going to be in that event or activity? I'm just curious about that aspect of it.
Well, Ken Jenkins is and Carol Brulé effectively run the Northern California Truth Alliance, and they sponsor a 9/11 Truth Film Festival every year. So all they are doing is having that film festival, which is showing a piece of a good piece of our first episode, 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom. I won't be there. I'll be on the other side of the country. Then after that, a week after that, Gail and I will start our RV West Coast speaking tour from Northern California in the Bay Area all the way up to Seattle.
Understood. He is not going to be with you on that speaking tour. I had gotten confused about that.
Yeah, no.
Okay, cool. Right on, man. Hey, I'm super excited you're going to be in New York. Bravo, kudos. There's nothing like being on the ground there, and thank you for doing that is what I have to say.
Well, thanks. Fly out there, and we'll see you there, Xander.
Man, I wish I could. I'm slammed that weekend, but yeah, otherwise. Another, probably on the big one, 25, I'll be there.
Yay!
Okay, any other questions for Richard? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Richard. You certainly, I mean, this has to be between what you're doing and what Andy has mentioned, and I'm sure what Barbara's going to tell us. This seems like the most active anniversary events that we've had. Sounds really great.
And Barbara, hopefully Barbara will tell you about Jan van Aken's huge event in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, so let's move on then to Barbara. And Craig, would you like to do an introduction of Barbara?
Well, my introductions aren't terribly exhaustive, are they? I mean, we've got three such well-known figures in the movement that I don't think there's a chance that anybody on the call has any doubts about who any of them are. So Barbara, you know, we know has been a tireless activist and researcher for many years in the movement, and she's been a long-time regular on our call, so I think that's pretty much all I need to say about her, and so we'll hand it over to you, Barbara.
Okay, Barbara, let me just mute everybody, and then I'll unmute you. Just a second. Okay, you're good, Barbara. Go ahead.
Yeah. Am I coming across loud and clear okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, everybody. It's a pretty action-packed
few days leading up to the anniversary and for Richard after. I just wanted to add something to Richard's presentation there, and that is just to remind everybody that the film project, Crime Scene to Courtroom, is a joint project between the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, of which I'm the board chairman. And by the way, Jane Clark, our founding president and our current executive director, is on this call. Hi, Jane. Glad you're here. I know you're muted, so you can't say anything. But Jane and Richard and I are on the Lawyers Committee board. So the film project, 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom, is a joint project of Richard Gage 9/11 and the Lawyers Committee, just to make that clear. And maybe you could unmute Richard, because I have a, I just want people to know that the film project does need your support. Any amount will be very helpful. And I know that you can donate on the Lawyers Committee website to the film project. And our website, again, is LC, like Larry Charlie, stands for Lawyers Committee. So our website is LC4, F-O-R, 911.org, LCFOR 911.org. You can donate to the film project there. We are a 501c3. And if you could unmute Richard, if he could just clarify, I believe you can also separately donate to the film project and also get your nonprofit tax deduction by donating on Richard Gage's RichardGage911.org. So if you could unmute Richard and he could confirm or not that, I'd appreciate it.
Yep, he's unmuted.
All of the links on the RichardGage911.org site for funding the film, the jointly sponsored film with Lawyers Committee and Richard Gage, which is an LLC. So the links go to the lawyers. Go to the Lawyers Committee. I'll talk between static. The links go to the Lawyers Committee, where you do get indeed a tax deduction. Does that clarify your question, Barb?
Yes. Thank you very much. So the bottom line is, whether you donate via Richard Gage's website or you donate via the Lawyers Committee website, you will be able to get a tax donation, and we really request that you help us on this because we need it. Okay, so getting on to the Lawyers Committee event. So we were going to be on Zoom where I could show you. I had sent it to Craig and Cheryl. I was going to show you and put it up on the screen, our flyer and our banner for the event, but can't do that now. So I'm going to read it to you so that you'll understand, you know, what the event is. So it's our 2023 anniversary symposium, and the title is Joining Forces for 9/11 Truth and Justice. Joining Forces for 9/11 Truth and Justice, with an emphasis on the justice. We have so many forensic facts already, and as you know, the Lawyers Committee has spent literally years, I think I've been with the Lawyers Committee, this is 2023, 8 years, 7 or 8 years. It was founded the year before I came on. And we have been doing everything we could to get our to get the facts about the World Trade Center attacks, World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7, and the anthrax attacks. We have submitted our grand jury petitions and our supplements. Our supplements are the evidentiary exhibits supplements, 60 or so in the case of the World Trade Center petition up in the Second Circuit in New York. We went all the way to the Supreme Court there, and we had the courthouse door slammed in our face, even in the face of Bob McElvain, who lost his son at World Trade Center 1 on 9/11, even in the face of the family members of first responder victims who died from the toxic dust, etc. So what we are going to be doing in the very near future, and we hope to be able to have our board approve the final draft of our filing in the D.C. and perhaps also back in New York federal district courts, we have now Plan B. And we've been working on this for a very long time. It's extremely complicated. There are many different ways we can go about it, and our board is this coming Sunday going to be hopefully finally making a decision on which ones to choose. But we are going to, we're not giving up, and we're going to do everything we can to get into that grand jury, to get into those grand juries for the anthrax attacks and the World Trade Center attacks, and in the future also the other aspects of 9/11. But that would be for the future, because we want to establish the ability to do it with the World Trade Center and the anthrax attack. So Mick Harrison will be opening our event, which is going to be, it will be live streamed, it will be free. It's live streamed via Zoom, and it's on Sunday, September 10th, the day before the anniversary. Begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, goes for a maximum of 3 hours, probably about 2.5. 11 a.m. Pacific. And if you go to the Lawyers Committee website already, the link and the meeting ID and the password are all there on our website already. Christina Borgeson will be the MC. She's a multiple Emmy Award-winning television journalist. She's the host of the Whistleblowers Newsroom. That's her YouTube channel, TV channel. And it's a great show. I believe she does that once a week, sometimes twice a week, and all of the shows are up there. She's our MC and host. She will also be running the Zoom, thank goodness, because sometimes Richard runs the Zoom, but he's going to be in New York doing activist events and won't be able to, so Christina has wonderfully volunteered to do that. So the first speaker will be Mick Harrison, and his title is Next Steps for 9/11 Accountability. And again, we hope to be able to announce our just filed new action in D.C. federal court, perhaps also in New York federal district court. But that remains to be seen. We will be deciding that hopefully this Sunday at our next board meeting. Then Richard. Now, these are not necessarily in the order of the speakers. Richard will be talking about the film project, and he will be showing a good chunk of the first episode of our film, joint project film, 9/11 Crime Scene to Courtroom, and perhaps also a few clips of the videos that he has done of interviews with experts and eyewitnesses that we have, that he's taken for the film, for other later episodes of the film. Ted Walter, the CEO of the new organization that was just, I believe it was stood up and publicly announced in July, I think it was mid to late July of this year. He's executive director of the International Center for 9/11 Justice, who is our co-sponsor for our event, and we are also co-sponsoring their event, which starts immediately after the end of our event, and that's that live showing of the new film on Graham McQueen, live in a New York theater. That starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, but hopefully our event will be over by 5 p.m. Eastern, which will enable people in the New York, New Jersey area and the New England area to be able to watch our event and participate in Q's and A's, et cetera, and also have time to go to that showing of the Graham McQueen film in New York City. So that's Ted Walter. Jan van Aken, Richard mentioned Jan. Jan van Aken is a very important person. Jan is arguably the lead, or one of the lead, but I consider him the lead, 9/11 truth and all truth movement activists in the European Union. So he is going to be speaking from the Netherlands online on Zoom, and he's going to be updating us on the activities in the EU, including their event, which I believe will have already happened. I'm not certain about that. Maybe Richard can fill us in on that date. I don't remember it at the moment. But in any case, he's going to fill us in on their event. Every year, on or around the 9/11 anniversary, his organization and other sister organizations hold an event that sometimes lasts 12 hours. I don't know if it's Sometimes it is online, sometimes it isn't. But unfortunately, it's going to be in Dutch, which is a Germanic language. And so I don't know how many people know Dutch. But anyway, he's going to be speaking in English at our event. Eric Lawyer, everybody knows about Eric. Eric's going to be speaking on waking up the brothers, that is firefighters, to 9/11 truth and justice. He, of course, was the founder of Firefighters for 9/11 Truth and is now the founder of the recently stood-up organization, Protecting All Protectors Alliance, acronym PAPA, P-A-P-A. He's going to be talking about his new organization, what it's been doing, what its plans are for the future, and how important it is to wake up firefighters. Then I'm going to be speaking on the anthrax attack, Master Key to 9/11 Accountability. I'm going to be dedicating my presentation, as our entire event is dedicated, to the memory and work, life's work of Graham McQueen. Charlotte Dennett is one of our attorneys and board member, and she is going to be talking about achieving justice for toxic dust victims who have been, believe it or not, denied access to their own medical records. And you can't go to court and prove your case for your insurance or to sue the EPA or whatever if you can't show before and after medical records. That's why they're being withheld. So she's going to be talking about that. And that she's doing the deep investigation and legal strategy for following that up, and she does have the first lead plaintiff for that. Jean Maritonda and Sandra Gelmi, our major 9/11 activists, Richard and Gail, will be with them in New York City along with Ted Walter for that game, for that Jets game in New Jersey. That is on September 11th, if I understand correctly. It's a night game. I believe it starts at 8 p.m., but they're going to be in the parking lot handing out flyers. And before the game, the plane is going to be pulling that banner in the sky. While people are out there tailboarding. And they're going to be talking about 9/11 truth, taking it to the streets and the skies. And they're also, along with Richard and Gail and maybe Ted Walter as well, and anybody else who can join them, are going to be at Ground Zero on 9/11. And also, I think Richard said it, World Trade Center 7, the new World Trade Center 7. There will be Q's and A's as time permits. We were originally hoping to have audience Q's and A's and any questions from other speakers of the speaker who has just spoken. Immediately after each presentation, there's a question mark on that right now because so many of our speakers are going to be on the East Coast or in the Europe. And so they all need, for various and sundry reasons, to be able to go in the first portion of the event, which means there probably won't be time for Q's and A's after each of those presentations, or it will have to be truncated Q's and A's. And for anybody who can come back on or stay on, we will open up the Q's and A's for anyone who wasn't able to have it if they're able to still be on. So as I mentioned, Christina Borgeson is our host and our MC, and the co-sponsor is the International Center for 9/11 Justice. And the event is a fundraiser for the Lawyers Committee, our critical legal work. And when you hear from Mick Harrison, who will open, our litigation director for the Lawyers Committee, you will hear what our new strategy is, and hopefully we will have just filed it in the D.C. Federal District Court. So are there any questions? And maybe, Richard, you want to add if I've forgotten something?
Just to answer your question about the event in the Netherlands. Well, that happens when I get on. It doesn't. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's something about yours.
Yeah, it's September 9th at 10 a.m. Europe time.
Oh, thank you very much. So 10 a.m. Europe time, that would be 6 hours later than Europe, or later than the East Coast. So 10, that would be 4, right? 4 p.m. East Coast time?
Something like that. September 9th. Mm-hmm.
September 9th, so 1 p.m. I don't know if it's going to be online. Do you know, Richard?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say, yeah. I asked Jan. Well, anyway, it's in Dutch. So he'll be talking about it at our event.
Yeah, there's a link to the website on our page at richardgage911.org.
Right, exactly. So does anybody have any questions for Richard or I about our Lawyers Committee event on Sunday, September 10th, beginning at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on Zoom? And again, you can go to the Lawyers Committee website, lcfor911.org, scroll down a little bit on the article about our event, and you will already have the Zoom link, the meeting ID, and the password, and you want to wait until literally it starts before you try to go into that. Okay, any questions for Richard or myself?
I have one. I don't know if anybody else is I don't want to jump ahead here, but while people are getting their questions together, I want to ask Barbara, did you consider, and if I'm just curious about your event. There's nobody from architects and engineers. I wonder if that was sort of a conscious thing, or whether it just, or what? Did you consider having somebody from AE participate in your Lawyers Committee event?
Well, I can't really talk about the deliberations in our board. That would be inappropriate. But we had limited time. The real reason for normally we would have more speakers, period, and we would be able to reach out to whoever more. And we did try, for instance, Chris Goya, we did try other speakers. The problem is that so many of our speakers have to go to that International Center event in New York City and Jan Van Aken with that huge time difference from the East Coast of 6 hours. We had a limited amount of time to do the event. And Richard and Mick needed a good chunk of time. So that really didn't give us very much time, even for the speakers we have that's left over.
But to answer your question more directly, Craig, there was no discussion of yes or no having an AE person there. It just didn't even come up. I don't know why, but I'm just suggesting that it didn't come up.
Yeah, I mean, I just wondered. I hope that there isn't some sort of feeling that there needs to be kind of separate efforts going on between AE and the other groups. I hope that's not the case.
Another reason it probably didn't occur to us mm-hmm. when we were talking about this, you know, how to structure the event, is that we already knew that the International Center for 9/11 Justice, which is actually, their emphasis is on justice, notice, and we're a lawyers committee. So when Ted Walter called up and asked us to co-sponsor their event, and we said, yeah, that'd be great. Will you co-sponsor ours? They went to the board was enthusiastic. When that happened, I actually looked around to see if A&E was doing anything for the anniversary, and I couldn't find anything. The first I learned what A&E was doing was actually today from Andy Steele, and I'm delighted that A&E is doing something. But I just learned about it.
Right. Yeah, I guess that they were. I guess they didn't announce it until tonight. But I guess what I would just say is, I've already expressed on this call before some of my concerns about the new organization. So I just hope that the Lawyers Committee, fiercely keeps its independence. I'm confident that you will, but I hope that it doesn't become too much of a kind of overlapping of things, so that it ends up being, Like, I hope you keep your independence because you have your independent mission.
So you don't have to worry about that. We are fiercely independent, and you should not take the title of our event, Joining Forces, as being about any other organization whatsoever. It's to join forces with everybody. Now that I've learned, I'm going to bring it up at our meeting on Sunday, that finally we know what A&E is doing and what kind of maybe co-sponsorship could be involved.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? No, I guess that's it then. Barbara, thank you so much for sharing all of that. I'm very excited about listening to all of you and all the great events that are happening. So, all right, and let's now go to the next part of the agenda, which is announcements and any other things people would like to discuss or share. I think, Craig, you had something you wanted to share?
I was just going to mention the fact that I've started a new blog, a new website, which it kind of sounds like I've dropped the other one, but I haven't. But I've started a new blog. It's called Thought Crimes and Misdemeanors, and it's actually thoughtcrimesandmisdemeanors.substack.com. And I'm the reason I did that is two reasons. One is that I thought the problem I've had with Truth and Shadows since, and I guess this will be a good subject for the A&E discussion on censorship, you know, how Google changed its algorithms in 2017 to basically kill about 90 to 95% of the traffic that I used to get on Truth and Shadows. And, when WordPress deleted my site, I lost all the past links and all the, basically the mailing list, everything got lost. So it's really kind of hard to, you know, it's like starting from scratch, but worse, but much worse. You know, I think there was much more potential for growth in the blog back in 2010 when I started, and it seems like now it's a real slog. So the advantage of the Substack thing is that people can subscribe to it just by clicking at the bottom of a post, and it's free. So it probably will help me to get a mailing list and a readership going more quickly, and probably get back to reaching people again. And the other thing I decided to do is that I would make this new blog. You know, it would be something I would post on more frequently and probably doing shorter posts. So, you know, maybe a few hundred words instead of a few thousand, but just do it more often so I could hit a lot more different subjects, because there's a million things that come across, you know, that come to mind. But I often think, you know, I want to do some major, you know, major article that takes weeks to do, and that ends up, and half the time I end up not doing anything because it just seems like a big undertaking. So that's kind of my plan. So I hope some people listening will come and check it out. I have one post that's up, and check it out and just click at the bottom to subscribe and make a comment or whatever. So anyway, that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Anybody else have an announcement or anything to discuss? Or
yes, Cheryl. This is Richard Gage, and Xander is trying to get a word in, but he's not. He's on mute. I don't know why I'm not, but he is.
Oh, let me see. Oh, okay, let me just see here. That's a good thing.
Or maybe he muted himself. I'm not sure.
Nope, I'm unmuted. I was placed on mute. So.
I have something too, Jane Clark.
Okay. Xander and then James?
Yep, thank you. Barbara, the question I had was, are you aware that Michael Chertoff is advising the Supreme Court on national security matters, i.e. which cases they may or may not hear?
No. Can you send me and Craig and Cheryl to forward to everybody the link to that, and I'll share it with our
yes,
board?
Yes, I will. Absolutely will. It was revealed in some financial disclosures in this last year, so that is confirmed, and I will get that to you.
That's phenomenal. That's unbelievable legal censorship. No wonder we haven't gotten anywhere. He's probably advised the court in New York.
Right. Exactly. So I'll get that to you. The other question I had is with respect to elements of 9/11 that may be perceived as controversial or what have you, i.e. Pentagon, Shanksville, are you kind of leaving those out of the crime scenes to courtroom thrust of evidence? Are we focusing on New York and maybe the anthrax? Or I guess I'll find out.
No. We're not leaving them out. It's just it's an incredibly time-consuming project. I mean, Richard will speak to that. He had no idea the amount of time it would take to do a film. I do. I've done documentaries.
from scratch, but the research and, you know, the script writing and the video and the editing and all of it, it takes a phenomenal amount of time. And, of course, we focus first in crime scene to courtroom on where we put our first emphasis, which is World Trade Center up in New York. Yep. And basically we're bringing to life the 60 or so evidentiary exhibits that are a supplement and an official part of our World Trade Center grand jury petition up in Manhattan.
Perfect.
We're bringing those to life in a film. And then the next one will be Anthrax,
okay.
We decided, because we already have submitted 2 years ago. September 11, 2021, we submitted our anthrax letter attacks petition to the U.S. Attorney in Washington, D.C., and of course have heard nothing. So we're about to take a major legal action in D.C. federal court there, hopefully, by September 10th, so we could announce it at our event on September 10th. And then after that, we absolutely will be going to the other aspects of 9/11. It just takes so long.
Okay. Well, Barbara speaking. Let me clarify Barbara's point. I probably won't be doing a film on the Pentagon. LC-9/11 can if they want, even adding to this series, perhaps. That has to be negotiated. So, as you know, there's a lot of sticky issues with regard to the Pentagon. So I'm not agreeing with the statement that Barbara made. She made that on behalf, perhaps, of LC-911. But,
I was just talking about LC. Talking about the Lawyers Committee. In fact, I would be surprised, Richard, if you would be partnering on the Anthrax part of the film.
Right. Guys, I don't want to get into the weeds on Pentagon stuff. I had a third question with respect to what you're currently doing. Barbara, that is, with Anthrax, have you reached out to congressional members who are currently inspired by all of the COVID craziness with some of the Anthrax evidence? Have you guys looked at that as a possible way to get, you know, congressional action? That's not the drama of 9/11.
Well, absolutely. In fact, we have two. They're all on our website. On the homepage, in the pull-down menus across the top of the homepage, we have two anthrax attacks, letter attacks petitions. One of them, in 2021, went to the U.S. Attorney in D.C., federal U.S. Attorney, but the other one, separate, went to every single member of Congress. And Mick Harrison followed that up with the officers of the House and the Senate. And then we decided to try to wait to see what the U.S. Attorney did, because if the U.S. Attorney doesn't act, and he hasn't acted or she hasn't acted in 2 years, literally as of this September 11th, then our next action is to go back to Congress and say, you need to put you need to take action because the U.S. Attorney is.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Jane, you're up.
Yes, I wanted to mention, too, that on our last legal adventure, that our main judge and the other two judges at the appellate level were really young judges. But our main judge was George Bush's first cousin, Walker. Okay? So there you go. But I'm not saying anything about him, but that's what we ended up with. And it could be that 9/11 stuff just goes to him. I don't know. But, you know, that kind of taints the case all the way down the line. But I wanted to state that pilot Dan Hanley will be on the David Icke Show on 9/6/23, and I don't have a link yet, but davidicke.com is the website, and I know he's trying to get on RT and on Tehran TV press right now. But he'll be on David Icke's show on 9/6.
Okay, anybody else have a question or comment?
Well, I just have a comment on Jane's comment about that. People should know, if you don't already, that Captain Dan Hanley, he was basically drummed out of his, I can't remember if it was United Airlines, but he was a pilot for major American Airlines. And he started talking about 9/11 truth. And they basically canned him. And he's fought that for years. And now he's founded an organization. He has a great website. And he's focusing on the fact that Boeing had on these planes that left the airports on 9/11, that Boeing had the uninterruptible autopilot, where you could basically hijack the plane, take it away from hijackers, the hijacker's software. And he's focusing on that, and I'm sure that's what he's going to be talking about on the David Icke Show on September 6th.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to also say, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
His website is still up. It's pilots911.org, and I just sent it to Craig to Craig.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, I'll include that. We'll include that. Yeah.
He is starting an international inquiry with the Muslim countries on 9/11, and there's an organization that represents 157 Muslim countries that he's trying to get going on an investigation, and he's really talking to all the ambassadors everywhere. So he's doing a lot from Pakistan.
He lives in Pakistan.
Islamabad, yeah.
Wow, oh, that's interesting. Wow. Okay. Craig, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I did, actually. I just wanted to clarify one thing. I was a little I'm a little confused in my mind about when Barbara was talking about the LC stuff, you know, and that it would deal with the Pentagon, and then Richard said that his wouldn't, and I got mixed up about what we're talking about. I thought we were talking about the same film series, but I'm wondering if we're talking about two different things, and maybe both clarify that for me.
Yeah, to clarify, and then Richard can clarify as well. When Richard talks about the film series, he's talking about the World Trade Center episodes of the film series only.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and the question was about the film series and the Pentagon, and Barbara didn't answer it like that. She answered for the LC 9/11, and that they may be very open to doing Pentagon research and legal work. But that wouldn't probably appear in Crime Scene to Courtroom, certainly not in the near future. So does that help, Craig?
Well, I'm not sure, because then I'm sort of so crime. Okay, I thought that was what both of you were talking about, was that film series. So you're saying that you don't think the Pentagon will be part of this whole series? Is that consistent with what Barbara was saying?
Well, I can't see years down. I can't see years down the road. I can only see a year or a year and a half down the road, and it won't be in that time frame.
Okay.
Yeah. So the film series, the Lawyers Committee, all along has considered that the film series would go to the other aspects of 9/11 after the World Trade Center episodes, of which there are 15 or 20 or something. And Richard is only going to be showing part of episode one, okay, on our event. So,
and there's 24 episodes.
And there are 24 episodes. So we're talking about probably a year at least before we even get through those 24 episodes. And then the question becomes, we have already decided, there hasn't been a formal vote, but we've already discussed that the next series of episodes will be on the anthrax attack, because that is our second pre-existing,
okay.
It's already been in D.C. federal court, or D.C.
Right.
U.S. attorney, and Congress, all 535 members of Congress for 2 years.
Right. Okay. And so then it's possible that beyond the anthrax, you might address other subjects.
Absolutely.
And Jane, sorry, Jane, you were going to say something?
Oh, I just said I mailed all those things to Congress. It was a lot of work.
Right.
But that was about 2 years ago that we sent those. We really haven't gotten any feedback from anyone on that. So.
Right. Well, I guess it goes without saying, from my point of view, that, you know, I'll just repeat what I've said thousands of times, which is that I don't think the Pentagon, you know, issue is genuinely controversial at all. I believe it's a contrived controversy, and so I don't think it should be shied away from, because if it is shied away from, that means that the people that are creating the contrived false controversy are going to succeed in what they are trying to do. And so I think we should, the movement had better stop being timid about that. Or, I mean, I hope the movement will not be timid about that and will take on going after the official story wherever it has weaknesses. And there are many, many, many places it has weaknesses besides, you know, the very valuable areas that you mentioned, the anthrax and the towers, of course. You know, there's like, those are huge. I mean, well, the towers particularly, that's the centerpiece of the whole movement generally, but I sure hope, and I know, Barbara, I know how you feel about it too, that, you know, I hope that we don't fall for this, you know, oh, it's too controversial, let's just not do it, you know.
Don't worry, that is not the discussion inside the lawyers' committee.
Totally not.
Good
we
stuff.
Are not shy about that. No, we just
Excellent.
Have to get... We don't want to put any information out on anything unless we've thoroughly spent enough time to study it. And it's not that we all haven't studied some things that has to do with the
Right.
Pentagon, but we've had other things on our plate.
Great. Okay. Glad to hear it. Okay, thank
don't
you.
Don't worry about it. We're not afraid.
Okay.
All right. Any other thoughts, comments, announcements, anything? No? All right. Well, hearing none, then I guess that concludes our teleconference call tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And again, on September 27th, we'll have Dr. William Mackey's talking about COVID things. So please join us then. It should be very interesting. He does a lot of articles that he posts on Global Research. So if anyone wanted to check him out, it's William Mackey, M-A-K-I-S. So anyway, we'll have him next time. So thanks, everyone.
And thank you for your patience with the technical challenges we had. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us.
One other thing, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Is Andy Steele still on?
No.
I don't think he is. I think he had to jump off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my hope is, I don't know, it's up to Richard because it's his website, but the one place everybody can go to see all of the events that we've known about together surrounding the anniversary, including Richard's West Coast tour after the anniversary, is at Richard Gage's website, richardgage911.org. And my hope is, it's up to Richard, that he'll get at least the bare bones details about A&E's event on, let's see, that was Friday, September 8th, up on that same segment of the website, I would hope.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Craig, if you don't mind giving me whatever's written up about that event, I'd be happy to post it if they want me to.
Yeah, I'll make sure you get that. I don't have everything in front of me, just what Andy's told me, but I'll make sure I'll touch base with him and make sure you get that. We email you that info.
That's great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks, everyone. Yep.
Is Andrew still on? Can he make sure he copies me on that that information he's getting to Barbara?
On the chair test stuff. Yeah, absolutely, Jane.
Yes.
Okay. Great call, everybody. Appreciate you all.
Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.